Today we are tackling what is probably one of the most controversial topics in our world. Today it is the center of the political conversation right now. And so we are asking the question, what should a Christian think about immigration? So let's dive into it. Welcome to Sage Reverie, a podcast where we seek to live well and live wisely. I'm Mike Wilson.
And I'm Wes Smith.
We live in the great state of Wyoming, and each week, from a biblical perspective, we discuss a trending topic and what others are saying about it. If you're using these episodes for your group, there are discussion questions in the description. And for more information about our ministry, visit church307.com. Wes, you're kind of like an immigrant. You came from West Virginia.
Right.
That's like a foreign country.
Right. It is a little bit.
Yeah,
it is a little bit. Yeah.
And Wyoming is a foreign country.
We're talking about immigration today, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know a little bit about that.
Does this get you excited or is this daunting?
It actually has me excited. I had privilege to spend quite a bit of time with Haitian refugees in Brooklyn recently.
Oh, cool.
And so it's kind of a front and center for me. So this will be an interesting discussion.
Yeah. Awesome. Our denomination has a lot of this conversation.
Yeah,
about what do we do with immigrants
and
where do we stand on this issue? And you've got so many immigrant connection ministries running through our denomination. So we've definitely, it's not one that we're just in bystanders.
Right.
We've gotten involved in this conversation.
Right.
And
absolutely.
So I'm excited to share it with you. You cannot turn on the news right now without seeing something like this.
We're back now with a record number of migrants crossing into the U.S., pushing resources to the limit in many American cities. Now hospitals are sounding the alarm, saying they're also overwhelmed, including some far from the border. Julia Ainsley has our report.
Tonight, the border crisis surging. Officials telling NBC News there were over 200,000 illegal crossings at the southern border last month, and a record 3 million migrants crossed the border in the last year. Now a new warning, 1,000 miles away in New York City, where officials tell us resources are overwhelmed. Across public hospitals in New York City over the last year, nearly 30,000 visits by migrants and 300 new babies born to migrant moms. Wow. Staff here at Bellevue Hospital tell us they're eager to help, but the numbers are tough.
This has been the hardest work that I've ever done, but it's been the most impactful work that I've ever done.
And most of the visits to the taxpayer-funded legal clinic here are by migrants.
If even NBC News is focusing on this issue,
it's
a big issue. It's a problem.
It's a problem. Yeah.
This clip is actually a little bit old. The numbers are bigger, but the numbers that are at a level now is like, you added $50,000 or 50,000 people onto the top of it.
Yeah.
It's the numbers are just too big to comprehend.
Our resources overwhelmed. I travel nationally quite a bit and we are so sheltered from it. We experience some of the overwhelm part of that at times here in Wyoming, but overall we're so, it's crazy. So many cities are overwhelmed.
I just spent a week in Houston.
Did you? Yeah.
And the amount of homelessness it's everywhere. You can't not see it.
Massive issue facing our country.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
When you watch a clip like that, does it evoke, for me, I get this almost emotional response to it. I feel this fear of what this could cause and the problems that it could lead to, and almost like a panic, which is why the news likes to talk about it.
Because
that's the emotions
gets
they want
emotions
to.
Going.
You'll tune in more
if they can get your
emotions going in that way. But it is an issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel those same kind of responses?
So just like we talked about on other topics, I think a person of faith, hopefully our first reaction is not fear.
Yeah.
Because there's a God in charge.
Yeah.
And there's a God opening doors for the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. So I always start with, I'm a citizen of heaven. What are you doing, Father, that I, with the gifts that I have? And in many ways, this is an opportunity for the gospel, right? These are people who are in desperate moments of their life, across generational time in their life, right?
Yeah.
And this is a moment where I can look at this as an opportunity for God's truth to be told to them, the gospel message.
It's an opportunity.
It's an open door for the kingdom of God. And who knows what his timeline is. And maybe he's doing this at a moment because he wants us to take it. So that's my first view.
Yeah.
And it's not fear. It's what are you doing? Just like AI and anything else we might talk. What door are you opening, and how can I serve you, Father, in this moment? So that's the first thing.
I can pretty easily recognize that any fear that I'm experiencing is because of some selfishness, because I've gotten comfortable, because I like my life. I don't want it to change. Yeah. So if there's fear there, it's probably a negative sign.
Yeah.
And I need to be honest about that and recognize where is that coming from?
Yep.
I'm a very opinionated person. And so I've got strongly held political views.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I remove my faith from this conversation,
right.
I get very logical and I say, what's good for our society? What will make us more safe and wealthy
and that secure, all those things are a big deal. Right.
And that becomes primary.
Mm-hmm.
And so it requires me to diminish my personal desires so that I can make primary something more important than just what will make me more comfortable in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have strong opinions about the type of immigration that America allows? I know the big debate right now, America first is the statement.
Right.
Honestly, that statement grinds on me. Mm-hmm. And I get it from a government perspective. You got to prioritize your citizens. Logically, I get that. But as a Christian, the America first mentality is very unbiblical.
Yes.
To say me first, my people first. And I get it. I protect my family.
Yep. Sure.
I'm going to prioritize protecting my family. Yep. So there's logic there. Yep. But I also, as Christians, we take the turn the other cheek mentality and say, actually, I'm going to put my
You matter as much as I do.
Right.
You matter as much as I do. And that's a hard way to live.
Yes.
Absolutely. But it's what we're called to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about merit-based immigration? So the debate is, we let anybody in who is in need of immigration. They need to flee their country for some unrest. Mm-hmm. Or we only let people in if they have something to offer our society. Mm-hmm. They're valuable to us. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that debate?
So the problem I see with that is who decides?
Right.
And will they get that perfectly right?
Yeah.
We know the answer to those two questions, right? Who decides and will they get that perfectly right? No, they will not.
Yeah.
So I think that takes us down a road that probably doesn't have any sense of equity to it at all, particularly on the side of, you know, the refugee side, which is where I'm most compassionate about in terms of immigration. I don't think we'll always get that right. There'll be money involved and there'll be other strategic concerns involved and selfish concerns involved. I don't trust that. And so for that reason, I don't think, I think our focus should be on getting as close as we can to orderly immigration,
right? Yeah,
not merit-based immigration.
Good. Yeah, that's really good.
If you have boundaries and limits, and so that we can effectively serve and care for people in an orderly way, that's our focus. I don't think we'll, in a perfect world, are there some things about merit-based immigration that could work? Maybe, but we aren't going to get there.
And the truth is, there will always be selfish motivations, and whoever determines what is merit-worthy.
Yeah.
What type of person, because if I am a construction worker, I don't want to immigrants who are construction workers because now I have competition. And so there's always going to be my selfish motivation in determining.
Which countries refugees get in and which ones don't.
Right.
I mean, you just go down and all the ethnic biases and stuff that could be associated with that. And so I don't think we can get to that kind of a system where it would be done right.
And there's definitely no question about where Scripture stands on refugees.
Right.
I mean, if somebody is an outcast, is the lost, the least of these, the foreigners, I mean, read the teachings of Jesus. The foreigner receives the most protection.
Sure.
They are provided for first. They are the first one we're supposed to receive.
Sure.
But then you start asking yourself the question, okay, logistically, how can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
How much can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
How many homeless people can I invite into my home before I make my family unsafe? Yeah.
And even before it starts to become dysfunctional for the homeless people I would invite into my home.
Right, true.
Right? We're seeing that now. If you can't serve the migrant, then they end up not in a better situation. So there's why there has to be some wisdom with respect to boundaries and orderliness with this whole thing, that we're being a little overwhelmed. So I'm all about, you know, compassion, and I think immigrants should be coming in large numbers, but we have to be careful with that. You're like a foster family, right?
Yep. Foster family, we celebrate the idea of a couple bringing foster kids into their home.
Yeah.
We would not celebrate foster parents bringing 100 kids
right.
into their home.
Right.
Because now you've just placed those 100 kids in a very unhealthy situation.
Yeah.
And it's good to have parents.
Yeah.
It's not good to be in an unhealthy situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's so are exactly we inviting right. these immigrants yeah. into a healthy situation? Yeah.
That is absolutely the core of it. And I spent quite a bit of time of my life living in the Denver area. Mm. And it was amazing to me. In most respects, the people in the region are pretty open to, come in.
Yeah.
We're not gonna have laws that restrict you, and even if you're undocumented, you can live among us, and we'll accept you really, really well. And there's a lot about that that's Christ-like in many ways. The problem, though, is that it's now to an environment that's unsafe for the migrant,
right?
Because there's not been wisdom around. Let's face reality. We have a problem. Let's make this an orderly thing. We're the most advanced nation that's ever
right.
lived,
yep.
and we've got people dying every day trying to solve the migration problem. We could do better.
We definitely can do better.
Yeah. Right. Anytime you go through airport security, like if they can make that miserable for me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To just get on an airplane, we can do something right. about the yeah. migrant crisis. Yeah. Like we could, right.
I want so bad for our government officials to actually try to solve this problem and not just use it as a political yeah. platform to get elected.
Yeah.
Both sides
are right.
just trying to use yep. this issue to get yep. elected.
Yep.
And if somebody would just put their minds, there's some smart people there.
Yeah.
I hope put your minds to actually solving the problem.
Yeah.
Totally could do it.
Yeah.
Increase the technology, yeah. increase the ability to bring these people in and do it orderly. But we yeah. don't want to do that. What we actually want is to yeah. use it to get elected.
I tend to be a conservative, mm-hmm. right? And I'm watching now as the other side, I feel like is finally admitting, just like we saw in this clip, right? Admitting we have a problem, we should fix it. Well, now my side, is not wanting it for the moment to be
exactly.
solved because we've got a presidential election coming
yep.
up. Yep. We want this to be an issue.
Yeah.
So we don't want to solve that.
Yep.
But both sides do this. You're exactly right. Back yep. and forth. I don't just criticize my side. We can't figure this out because it's a political winner for both sides.
Let's talk about the church and the role we play and what we can do as a church to participate in this. I'll play a clip for you that I think is a little funny.
Currently right now with the refugee crisis and the need to help them, I think we're both on board with that, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so how many can I put you down for?
I'll have to get back with you on that.
You have supported taking in refugees, correct?
No, not here, not in the church.
But you have in general, that being compassionate. Yes.
Yes, we have.
Just not in your church. What about you yourself? How many refugees have you taken in?
I haven't taken any.
Oh, well, that's perfect. We have two right now who are ready to go. They're fantastic. They're very friendly.
Yep, there we go.
That's the rub.
Right?
That's right. I want a sanctuary city, but I don't want a sanctuary neighborhood in my neighborhood.
No. I want it in San Francisco, but I don't want anything in Wyoming.
Can you do the sanctuary city somewhere else?
Right.
And so it's this absolutely. Difficult conversation of, okay, but somebody actually has to help these people. Somebody actually has to get down, get dirty, do the hard work.
Yeah.
My sister actually works volunteers at a shelter that provides showers in it, and it helps these people, many of them illegal immigrants, to just get ready every morning and take care of themselves. And you realize the need is not just to make a law.
Yeah.
The need is somebody has got to provide a system for these people because they're coming here for opportunity.
Yeah.
So you have to believe, and this is my mind on the immigration issue has been changed. Mine recognized that most of the people coming here are wanting to work. They're wanting to find, they're not just looking for handouts. Most of them are not just looking for handouts. Mm-hmm. Most of them are looking to actually succeed in life and maybe send some of the funds back home to their family so that they can help there. But man, I cheer those people on who are like, I'm going to do what it takes to go find a place where I can be successful in life and where I can provide for my family.
Sure.
So I don't.
This just in. Governments don't really solve the problem.
So true.
This is news.
Which is why
right?
we're conservative.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
A big part of why we're conservative. Yep. But no matter who's in power, this is going to be an issue. People are still going to need. And the church, God opens doors if we are going to be legitimate Christ followers, whether there's Republicans or Democrats in charge. This just in, that isn't going to really matter.
Yep.
The church is the hope of the world.
Yep.
And I'm the church.
Yep.
You're the church.
Yep.
And so he's right on. What are we doing?
Like,
are we sponsoring children? Are we inviting them in? Are we serving them? Are we caring for them? The world's always going to be in chaos, including our country.
A couple years ago, we started a Hispanic church here in Gillette. And I had multiple people in my we got a very conservative, politically conservative congregation.
Yeah.
A lot of Fox News watchers around here.
Right.
And when we started that church, I had many people come to me and ask, are we checking that these people that are leading our church are legal?
Yeah.
And that was, they wanted to prioritize the legal immigration status of, and I'm like, we've got a bigger picture problem to solve, and that there are lost people going to hell.
Yeah.
That's our mission. And how do we bring the gospel to these people?
And we care about other things. I mean, that's why we have immigrant connections among some of our churches. We care about those issues.
Yep.
But that's not my first priority as a Christ follower. You're right on. And we've got to do our role in this and let God do what we can't control.
Yeah.
And governments are one of those things, right? So
I'm going to overgeneralize here, but when I talk to young people about Republican versus Democrat or conservative versus liberal, most of them say it's the selfish Republicans versus the irresponsible Democrats. The Democrats are generous and the Republicans are stingy rich people.
Yeah.
And that's a total overgeneralization.
Yeah.
But a lot
except
of
for the Democrats, I agree with all that on the Democrats. No, not really.
Not really.
Yeah.
A lot of that really comes down to, okay, we line up all the issues because both of those parties, isn't it funny we call them parties?
Yeah.
It's not much of a cell.
No.
It's not very fun party. You line up all the issues that they've taken stances on.
Although I would say Democrats party better.
They party more.
I'm sorry. I don't have to interrupt you, but I just, sometimes I want to be a Democrat because I feel like it's more fun.
Legalization of drugs.
Yeah, it's just more fun maybe.
Yeah. They party in some areas. It has bad consequences.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No. So you line up all the issues, and generally there's some truth to that. The Democrats will pick the side of the issue that is maybe a little bit more generous on paper, at least.
Yeah.
I think one of the most damaging things in church conversations recently, in the last few decades, is that book that came out, When Helping Hurts.
Yeah.
Did you ever read that book?
Yes, I did.
And the whole book is about how handouts don't always help people.
Right.
And there's so much truth to it.
Yes.
There's data behind it.
Yes.
Yes. Many times you can give too much handouts and hurt people.
Yep.
But at the same time, I think sometimes we use that truth as an excuse not to give handouts when we should.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's this.
And to be fair, we conservatives do that mostly.
Right. Exactly.
To be fair. I'm conservative and I think it's the smart way to live life, but we do that. We use that as an excuse to not actually be Christian.
Yep. I don't want to help that homeless person on the side of the road because he's probably just going to spend it on drugs. Well, there are some homeless people who need to eat though.
Yeah.
And
there's
it's messy.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out when will helping hurt and when will helping help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when you read the life of Christ, he always erred on the side of giving, of generosity.
There were
times when the religious leaders were looking at what Jesus was doing with the sinners and with the outcasts of their culture, with the lepers. And he is being generous with these people, and everybody around him is like, no, that's going to make things worse.
Well, take the prostitute.
Yes.
You know, here's somebody who's made wrong choices.
Yes.
And did Jesus speak the truth to her? Absolutely. But it was wrapped in grace, and it was around this idea of I'm going to care for you and love you. And one of the ways I'm going to love you is in the context of relationships, speak the truth. Like, we talk about grace and truth sometimes as if they're these two polar sort of opposites, and you have to figure out the right line to walk between them.
Exactly. Yeah. Right?
They are not that at all. Yeah. Understanding we. Truth is a beautiful part of grace. Mm-hmm. So when I am loving my children, and part of loving them is letting them know that if they make wrong choices, it won't be in their best interest. All of that is grace. All of that is grace. Truth is part of that, right? When God shared with me early on the scriptures, right? And part of that is, say, the Ten Commandments. Like, here's some things to do and not to do. Mm. That's grace giving on his part. Because if I didn't know that, if I didn't understand that, I would hurt myself.
Wow.
And people hurt themselves by not following God's truth. So it's grace, right? It's all wrapped in that. And so we can't like, I'm going to be graceful today and truthful today, and I'm going to try to find the right balance, and truth hurts. But boy, you just... That's not the way to perceive that.
You just blew my mind. That is a total. That's a totally different way of thinking of it than I have. That's so powerful. Yeah. I think that's very true. God's truth is very full of grace.
Absolutely.
He is giving you this truth because he loves you, because he wants to give you a gift. This truth is a gift to you.
Yeah.
That's so valuable because we so often talk about, are we going to be graceful right now? Or are we going to be truthful right,
right.
now?
Right, right, right.
When you look at issues like this, especially political issues, you kind of have to create a hierarchy of what am I called to? Mm-hmm. What's most valuable investment of my time? And I wonder about where this immigration issue falls in our hierarchy of importance in terms of political issues. For me, for so long, the pro-life issue, the abortion issue, has been at the top of my list in determining a candidate, which is why I usually have voted Republican, because that's the Republican Party's stance. However, there are some issues, man, I got to just close my nose and vote for a lot of Republicans that I just do have no interest in voting for because I've put that issue at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I wonder if immigration in my voting patterns has not taken a high enough place on my priority list. And it really came into focus for me when Trump started running for office and he made it a top issue. And I started thinking, emotionally, I'm still more connected to the abortion issue, but should I be more connected to this issue of helping these immigrants that are in need?
Right. Right. Yeah. For me, it really became front and center in terms of wrestling with it when it looked like it might be that due to Trump's leadership and others, there might be tens of thousands of people in our country deported.
Yes.
And knowing that since our system was so chaotic, that many of those tens of thousands had tried to do the right thing and we had not provided a real opportunity for them.
Yeah.
And knowing that we're talking about children whose lives are going to be drastically affected, there became a point for me when that issue almost became equal to abortion.
Wow.
Yep. In my mind, for a moment. It's not there for me, but I do think this is an issue that does rise. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I would put it. I haven't thought about like 1, 2, 3 for sure, but I do think it's a key issue. And there is a tension between, am I going to put my citizenship in heaven, my Christian faith? Am I going to subject that to my America nationalistic tendency, and that's easy to do, and that I think would be very wrong.
Yep.
So I'm cautioning myself to be careful with that.
I'm very patriotic. I love our country. I'm a big fan of our country, and I want it to succeed, and I want it to prosper.
Yep.
But that desire in me, mostly because it's emotional desire, has got to subordinate to my loyalty to
Yeah.
The kingdom that I'm a citizen of.
You know, this is checking my spirit too, because we live in Wyoming, and and one of the reasons I live in Wyoming is because it's not California.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll just be honest.
Yeah.
California is a beautiful place, but,
it's good to vacation there for a week or two.
Yeah. For a short time. Right. And so, and of late, right, we've had immigrants from said state.
Yep.
To our state.
Many
and,
of them.
And I find myself being unhappy about that on a pretty regular basis, whether I'm out hiking or hunting or whatever it is that I'm doing. And I find myself being challenged to say, because I can be a pretty compassionate against a Hispanic child from Guatemala who was going to die.
Yep.
And but somebody who is a very different political, a very different political persuasion from California, moving in with views that I very strongly disagree with.
Yeah.
That's a little harder for me. I got to tell you. And so God's checking me a little bit. Well, do you want to reach those people? Maybe I bring this person to your neighborhood for you to befriend. That God and I are still working on that.
Yeah. Don't mess up my neighborhood. Don't mess up my Wyoming.
Close the
Don't,
gate. Let me in Wyoming, then close the gate.
Yeah. I've wrestled a lot with this idea of racism.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about immigration, it kind of becomes front and center. I hate the fact that Republicans are seen as more the racist people, if we're overgeneralizing.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are more the anti-racist. There are extremists in both parties that have become the identity of the party. I hate that. I want my group to be seen as the anti-racism group.
Yes.
I hate racism. I think it is one of the most evil attitudes in our world. It is so anti-Christ. It is racism is evil. And so I want to be a part of the group that is anti-racism. So I want to run from both extremes of this this self-centered focused anti-racism that is more about showing how righteous I am because I'm fighting against racism. And then also these people who legitimately believe that they're the superior race.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of those extremes, but I want to champion diversity. With that said, I've always struggled with this phrase, diversity is our strength, because there is something to be said about the culture that is created, the unity that is created by common language, by common ideas. What are our ideals? What are our dreams that we hold in common? If we are together as a community in pursuing those goals and those dreams, we are stronger. So diversity, yes, maybe in our skill set, maybe in our ideas, but in terms of goals, our big picture mission, we don't want diversity there. We want unity. And so what is that? I'm talking now as the church. What is that unity? What can we get behind as a church?
And unity is a... I believe it's a wrongly used word in the church. We are called by Scripture, several writers and speakers in Scripture, in terms of, including Jesus, calls us to love one another. We'll be known by the way we care for one another.
Right.
And so many times that is described as in agreement.
Right.
And anytime there's not agreement, then we're seen to be outside God's will.
Right.
Right. That's not it at all. If you read the story of our first group of people, what we sometimes in Christian circles call the early church, there was a lot of disagreement.
Right. Yep.
And it wasn't that they disagreed. It was how they still cared and responded to each other and walked through those things. So disagreement does not mark disunity. And so I'd like to just make that distinction. And many speakers, writers, they want the church to live in unity. Mm. So then they call us to just accept divergent views.
Right.
Because that's the way they see that we get to unity, and Christ was about unity, they say, and all these kinds of things. When in reality, that A, doesn't actually work.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're being called to as a church. That's not the unity that we were called to. It's the care for one another, the way we're going to love you, that we're called for, not agreement on whatever you might feel or that kind of bring your culture in and your views in, and we'll just accept all of that.
When you look at the 12, the disciples, of the guys Jesus picks to be his 12 apostles, you've got a zealot and a tax collector. Like, you talk about extreme opposite political opinions.
Yeah.
And Jesus does not spend his time, as far as we can tell, with these apostles saying, okay, let's all get agreement on taxation.
Right.
No. Let's all get agreement on these issues. I think this has been a big downside of denominations. Mm-hmm. I think there's some value to denominations, mm-hmm. but denominations become weak when they are formed entirely on creating a giant list of ideas or a giant list of beliefs and requiring everybody to agree on all beliefs.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, we probably should have a big picture mission that we agree on.
Yeah.
But all these other beliefs, we're going to allow some diversity of thought within our church body, within our congregation.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some core doctrines that we cannot have divergent. Jesus made those decisions for us, right? But we don't need to add to those.
Yeah.
Adding to those gets us in trouble and distracts us from the mission.
Yep.
We should, and there's always going to be important things come that will distract us. Like how our nation responds to immigration is an important deal.
Right.
And we should have opinions about that and vote about that and all those things. But that is not a church issue.
Yeah.
And we can't let that distract us. So it's a disagreement on this topic politically should be valued in the church community.
Bingo.
And embraced in the church community. Yep. There are now, I just think there's way less Democrats attending church, and that's a real shame.
Yep.
It's a real shame.
At least in the evangelical church.
In the evangelical church, yes. That's a good distinction.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a real shame.
The calling that we have received is a calling to love. And so whatever situation you find yourself in and interacting with people, my encouragement is always to prioritize grace and love. And we do that because of the truth that is given to us in Scripture. So thanks for joining us today. You should know that Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life.